Tomorrow morning, farmers all across America will wake up long before the sun rises and go outside and work. There's a strength and pride that awakens within us when we think about these people, these stewards of our earth. And yet, tomorrow morning, farmers will face more than just the daily chores. Tomorrow morning, a young Missouri farmer will dream of starting a farm that seems out of reach. Tomorrow morning, a small farming town in South Dakota will hold a town meeting to see if they can keep the high school. Tomorrow morning, the average age of a U.S. farmer will be 60.
You're listening to In the Moment on SDPB Radio. I'm Lori Walsh. You just heard there an excerpt from the film Farmers for America, narrated by Mike Rowe of Dirty Jobs fame. Of course, you can tune in to the documentary on SDPB TV this Thanksgiving Day. It's at 8 Central, 7 Mountain. Director Graham Merriweather spent 4 years trekking across the country in search of farmers in order to tell their stories. Their hard work and energy provides the heartbeat of this film, and Graham is with us today. Welcome. Thanks for being here.
I'm happy to be here, Lori. Thank you.
Tell me how this sort of came to be before any of the cameras turned on. What were your early thoughts about making a film like this?
Well, I directed a documentary all about the American meat industry called American Meat. And in that film, I followed chicken farmers, hog farmers, cattle raisers all across America and told a pro-farmer story about America's meat industry, focusing on how there's this new burgeoning market of farmers growing, raising animals outside without the use of antibiotics, the grass-fed local food movement. And so when we did that film, I ended up personally going to about 200 screenings around the country. At every screening, we would ask the audience, and the audience would ask us, you know, what's the most important challenge facing America? And again and again, I just kept hearing people say that the biggest challenge is the fact that the average age of the U.S. farmer is 60 years old. Half of America's farmland is going to change hands in the next 12 years. And so I decided, like, I was going to make a film about America's young farmers and why it's so hard for young people to get into agriculture and why it's such a rewarding job. Why it's not really of a job, but why it's such a rewarding calling for people to get into farming.
Yeah. So when the pandemic strikes in 2020 and we see the supply chain, particularly for meat, seize up in many ways, were you looking back to your work on American Meat and the people that you met and the story that was told and realizing that it was somewhat of a predictor of what was going to happen or could possibly happen?
Yeah, absolutely. I think we have a very centralized food production model, and I think it's showing its weaknesses. You know, the absolute best way to set up a food system for our country is to do regional food systems. So, you know, what that looks like is, you know, it's amazing. I was actually in Nebraska a few years back, and I was talking to some farmers there, and they told me that Nebraska imports 90% of its food and exports most of the food that all those farmers there grow. And that's the same in all of the major agricultural states like South Dakota, Iowa, Nebraska. These are places that are producing food to feed American people and also to feed people around the world. However, they're not often feeding themselves. And so, you know, I think the most resilient food system is one in which you keep it regional. So, you know, there's no reason why a state like South Dakota can't feed everyone within its borders, so that way, you know, when a crisis hits, and, you know, we're probably going to be seeing more and more crises over the next decades, that we have a stable food supply in our backyard.
How does that bump up against the challenge of scale? though. You know, we've eliminated famine globally in many ways over the past, you know, few decades, largely because of that ability to export and to think about a global market. So as you find and go and meet these farmers who are doing these things that are really amazing and small, what are the challenges then when they are bumped up against, you know, global demand, for example?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, it's a complex geopolitical situation. I would say that, you know, the a lot of times when we talk about the local food system, there can be situations where someone might have a farm on the back of their truck, you know, and that's an example of something that obviously, you know, that's not gonna feed the world. You know, that's not a very scalable thing. However, I think the best approach is sort of a hybrid of the two. I think it actually works. It really does not work for farmers, the current system that we have. I mean, the proof is in the pudding. You know, in 1980, we had 6 million farmers. Today, we have less than 3 million. You know, in the 70s, Earl Butz famously said, get big or get out. And that's what's happened. I mean, people have gotten out. You know, we tell a story in our film about Chuck Wirtz, who, when he was a little, when he was just starting out as a farmer in the late 70s, you know, he was probably in his 20s at that point. He had a whole bunch of neighbors on his section of land. Everyone had pigs. Everyone had, you know, was raising some corn and some beans. And then, you know, now he's the only farm on his section of land. And there's a lot, you know, there's a lot of reasons for that. The technology has expanded, so one person can farm a lot more. But with that, you know, if we just continue down that path, the path of scaling up, the path of globalization, we're going to lose more and more farmers. What we'll get to is the point where, you know, one of my friends who's a North Dakota farmer, he was saying that there's even situations, there's so much consolidation of the high schools there that some kids are actually there, like some, and this is, you know, they're looking at potentially doing boarding schools because the bus ride is so long both ways in the morning, that, you know, they literally, it doesn't work anymore. So, you know, where are we going to look like 25 years from now? Is it going to be a drone tractor, where there's only one person, we'll call them a farmer, but they're really just sort of a robot attendant who's making sure that, you know, that the drone tractors are working in that section. I don't think that sounds like the type of agriculture that we want to have. And the ugly truth is a lot of times that we don't, you know, the food that's being raised is actually not, you talk about ethanol, the, you know, that's corn that's getting fed to cars. It's not getting fed to people. And so, you know, I think the healthiest thing for America is that we have somewhere in between the really small and the really big, a regional system, something where there's scale so we can feed ourselves, something like, you know, you have a local meat locker in every town. You can process your meat there. There's a lot of serious problems once you get up to a certain scale that our country is unfortunately facing those issues right now.
If you're just tuning in, you're listening to In the Moment on SDPB Radio. We're talking with Graham Merriweather, filmmaker. The film is called Farmers for America, and you can see it on Thanksgiving Day on SDPB TV. And Graham, one of the things that I just think as you in this film, as you look at some of these young people who are either being forced out because they cannot afford to take over, you know, land that costs $10,000 per acre, for example, but you also have this longing for people who have no attachment to farming, have not grown up in farm country at all, and who realize that they want something more and better for their families and their lives. And they're seeking. So there's so much of this sense of the human in us knows something about how food should be grown and what we should be doing in our own food production. Tell me a little bit about that. Some of the people that you found who have felt a calling that they never expected to.
Yeah, that there were so many inspiring stories like that. And people that are, Yeah, I think in our culture, a lot of people are so disconnected from everything in their lives. You know, I mean, if you think about your meal, let's say you go to McDonald's, like you don't know the farmer that grew that food. You don't know anything about the story behind that food, the work that went into that. And, you know, our furniture, most of it's made out of this country. Most of the things are electronics, all the things that we deal with, we don't have any personal connection to. And I think the food movement has really taken off because people are yearning for a personal connection to something tangible in their lives. And food is something that's pretty simple to do that. You know, you can go to a farmer's market and meet the person who grows the food that you're going to eat. Or, you know, like some people, you can even start farming and you can say, okay, I'm going to plant some lettuce seeds, you know, in March and in a greenhouse and see if that grows, and I'll grow some food for myself. And so, yeah, there's just these incredible young people that are really excited. You know, and a lot of times they're coming from jobs where they're looking at a computer screen all day long, and they just, you know, they feel like they don't have a sense of purpose. And farming is such a clear, distinct sense of purpose. I mean, you go out, you're growing food for other people to eat. It's literally the stuff that sustains us. So I think there's a lot of passion, there's a lot of excitement, there's a lot of innovation that's happening. And I was so privileged to be able to film with a lot of young farmers who are super excited about growing food for people in their communities and people in our country.
How are some of these people using social media to sort of not only just market themselves, but also tell the story of what it means to live a little bit closer to the land?
Yeah, I mean they're taking they're taking photos of themselves farming every day. They're sharing, you know, our family, we actually recently started a homestead and we're growing a lot of our own food. However, we don't grow enough food for our entire family. So we buy almost all of our family food directly from farmers. And so, you know, my wife is always looking on, you know, her Instagram to see other farmers' Instagrams to see if they're during COVID, especially, like, are you open? Like, what time can we buy the stuff? Or on the Facebook page, it's actually been a really useful tool to learn about how they're doing that. And one of the farmers in our film, Paul Grieve, you know, he's constantly posting with like the hashtag pastured poultry because he raises his chickens out on pasture, and people love that. They love to see photos of the, you know, the animals that they're going to buy to purchase for food. They love to see that, the vegetables. It's just great to be connected. Like we're talking about, it's just that connection that I think we're all yearning for.
Yeah. This is a time of, as you said, the next 12 years, you know, the shift that is going to take place. People in the film talk about a food revolution, you know, the absolute mandatory nature of innovation and being an entrepreneur. When you made this film, did you leave with a sense of hope for some of the energy that if policy was adjusted to bottle some of that innovative energy from young farmers across the country, the potential is just enormous? Are you optimistic after making this film?
I'm absolutely optimistic. Like I think there's a lot of excitement. There's a lot of reason to think that regional agriculture and local food production is gonna continue to be more and more important. I talked to so many farmers that during COVID, they sold out of everything within a few days. You know, so I think people are beginning to see the light. You know, if you go to the grocery store and you buy something from JBS, you know, that stuff is usually grown in another country. There's a lot of unethical practices that are happening around antitrust, where they're controlling the market. And you can just sort of get out of, you know, opt out of that whole corrupt system if you just go and buy your food directly from a farmer. And you feel great when you do it. I mean, you give the farmer that money, you know that they're going to use it to grow food. Then you sit down at your table with your family and you have that food and you knew it came directly from that farmer. I mean, that's a beautiful thing, and that's really what Thanksgiving is all about.
Graham Merriweather is the director of the film Farmers for America, and you can see it Thanksgiving night on SDPB TV1. Graham, thank you so much for being here. We appreciate your time.
It's a privilege, Lori. Thank you, and have a happy Thanksgiving.